7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yes, indeed. All systems are nominal. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM. Also streaming from KYRS.org around the world. I am your host. I'm Maeve. This is Out and About. And that's why I called you Out and Abouters, probably. Welcome, Out and Abouters. If I didn't say that earlier. And today I have somebody who I've known for a while, but I think this is the first time we've ever met, Tracy Simmons.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
My gosh, so good to see you. You know, a lot of people probably know you from your column in the newspaper. And I think it used to be, it's like under faith or something like that now, or what did they call it? It used to be like religion.
Faith and values.
Yeah. Which is part that that's, and you are you the founder of Spokane Faves, or you've just been running it? Yeah.
So
since 2012, right?
Yeah.
And Spokane Faves is a website, and that's short for faith and values as well, right?
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. How did you get started making a website? And I'm going to do a better introduction of you in just a second, but I have to ask a question. How did you get started making a website dedicated to faith and values?
My whole career has been dedicated to religion reporting. So I've been a journalist my whole career. I knew when I was 15, it's what I wanted to do. I feel really lucky. But I didn't know I wanted to write about religion until I was in undergraduate school. And I had some professors who kind of zeroed in on that interest that I had. Long story short, I became a religion reporter for different newspapers across the country. And then in 2009, you may recall the economy tanked. And so the paper I was at in Connecticut said, we're going to have you cover, you know, the Bureau, no more religion coverage. And it was like things like Thomas the Train coming through town. And and I was like, this is not why I went to journalism school. You know, I really want to write about religion. And so I just started doing it myself as an independent journalist back then in Connecticut. Sold my first publication to the Religion News Service and then moved out here and started it over again.
Wow, very cool. And so I'm going to give the... You are the executive director of Faves. You are an award-winning journalist specializing in religion reporting, digital entrepreneurship, and social journalism. And you've been leading the Faves staff since the website began in 2012. You're also an associate professor at Washington State University, a reporter and columnist for the Spokesman Review. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I wear a lot of hats.
Yeah, you do. You do. Were you always interested in religion? I know you were always interested in newspaper stuff, but journalism, but how about religion?
Yeah, when I started out, you know, in high school writing for the paper, for my high school paper and for the local paper back then, I was just writing your regular feature stories, you know, covering parades. And it wasn't until I got to college where I was the one volunteering to write the story about like the new pastor in town, or I remember I did a story on the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses building a building in the middle of a neighborhood. And I wanted to see what the neighbors thought of that, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so I had some professors who said, hey, I think you want to be a religion reporter, which I didn't know was a thing.
Yeah.
So I joined an organization called the Religion News Association and been doing it ever since. I think it's the best journalism beat there is.
I love, and you know, and not to be too gushy about it, but I really love your writing. It's very, I feel like it's personal and it's very heart oriented, but it's also so rational and thoughtful too. And it's just, I love when writers do that.
Oh, thank you.
You know, and I think you are a master of that for sure. Did it take you kind of a long time to get your chops down in being a writer like that? Or was it...
Yeah, it's kind of a different type of writing. So, you know, most of my career has been just doing straight news, you know, a no opinion, be as objective as possible. And I still do that. I still write a lot of news articles. But the spokesman asked me to write a column several years ago.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is new for me. And then I decided to approach it rather than telling people, this is what I think you should believe or how you should behave. I just wanted to get more personal because I think as a religion reporter, I'm asking people really personal questions all the time. So it was a way for me to give back a little bit and share some of my story.
Yeah.
It is fun. I really like doing it.
Well, and I think what I like about that column too, and what I like about Babes is that it's about belief, right? I mean, it's not like everybody has beliefs. And they may not know that they have these beliefs. They might say, well, I'm a completely rational person. I'm scientific. And it's like, well, that's great. You know, I feel like I'm the same way too. But what do you do with that? What do you do with that information that you have scientifically sussed out or whatever? You know, I mean, to me, I think everybody has a mission, whether they acknowledge that mission or not. And that mission may be predicated upon religious background. It may be predicated on just observation of the world, or maybe a mission they're not even aware of. And maybe they're just like, I like being comfortable, and I like being well fed, and I like, you know, I like being safe. And that may be their mission too. But I just think that when I read these articles on Faves or in the Spokesman Review, I think about that people are living lives of mission, whether they know it or not.
Absolutely. Even if you don't practice a religion, you have a set of values, right?
Right.
That drives you. And so I think that actually gives us a lot of variety in what we can write about. So we write about churches, but we can also write about, you know, atheists and agnostics and humanists and
right.
A whole immigration, right? Everything. It's really
well, you have an article in there about African Americans celebrating Earth Day.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I that's just so lovely, yeah. And you won't find that in a lot of places.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily a religion story, but I think it taps into ethics and values.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sure. And so, if people want to check out the website, how do they do that? Where do they go?
It's just favs.news, so Faves News.
Okay, easy peasy. A lot of us come from kind of religious trauma as kids, right? And I think I'm in that camp.
Yeah.
And I think you're in that camp.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And you, I got my master's degree in pastoral ministry and was in charge of campus ministry at Gonzaga University the last year I was in charge of it. Before that, I was an assistant director. But I mean, religion to me always interested me, regardless of this bad stuff that happened.
Yeah.
Is that kind of a similar story?
I definitely have some religious trauma. And I think that's guided my whole career.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm curious. Like, I want to know why people believe a certain way and why yeah. they behave a certain way. So I think that curiosity is really what pulls me into this career.
Yeah. I was always at Gonzaga. It was interesting because you'd have kids that would be students that would be so angry at their religious studies classes because it wasn't a Bible study class. You know, it was going into the hermeneutics of the, you know, the gospels or whatever books that they were studying. And I would try to talk to them about that, but it was religion to them was this other thing. It was a part of their life, but wasn't something that they could think about rationally. And for me, that was really weird because even in the age that I grew up, even if you were a religious person, you still were a rational person. You still believed, you know, in science. You still believed in evolution. You still believed in all these things. You know, but, you know, there was a part carved out for God in this. And that was the, you know, the good part of your life. Have you seen that kind of shift in your writing?
It's interesting you say that because I teach a class at WSU called the Religion Reporting Project. And so we spend 6 weeks reporting on religion and it's also a religious literacy course. So the students who take the class don't go to church. Maybe they've been wounded by the church, you know, but they want to know more about the religion maybe their grandparents grew up in, and they don't know the difference between like a Methodist and an Episcopalian, so we kind of start with the basics. And then by the end of the course, a lot of the students end up writing for faves because they're like, this is the coolest beat ever. And they want to keep doing it. And I think that's so cool. I'm not trying to change them, just trying to help them, like you said, make those rational decisions and just see other people as they are, you know, rather than with assumptions.
Well, and it's a big, important piece of a lot of people. I mean, it's a reason why, I mean, if you go to the, and I should have told you this at 20 minutes after, I have to break and do some, of my underwriter stuff. And then I also have to, I've taken on that I will talk about everything that's going on this week as far as protests and information and stuff like that. But at the protests, there's a real religious vibe to those. And there's organized religions involved in the protest movement. And people are doing this because, you know, if you ask them why, it's because of my belief system. So when people just try to ignore people's belief systems and cut that out of a story, it's a huge part that's missing.
Yeah, I agree. I was just at a conference, Society of Professional Journalists, talking about how even if you don't cover religion, you're the sports reporter or the business reporter, you should still think about clergy voices and people of faith you might want to include in your coverage.
Yeah, that's a good point. My friend's sister Laura, speaking of sports, my friend's sister Laura, who I worked at that Gonzaga, she was so into baseball, and she wound up being, she was the chaplain for the Gonzaga baseball team. And she would, she, when they won the championship, she would get a ring as well. And she was just, she loved that. And she would write a prayer before each game for each of the players. And then she would say the prayer with them. And then she would also say, now, you know, when you're up at bat, you should be tucking in your left elbow a little bit more. And she would critique their performance.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, and she was just so cool. But sports were a huge part of her life. So yeah, that to me is not a long walk. Now, your faith, if I can get into it, you're Buddhist, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Or do you think, now a big part of Buddhism is life is suffering, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're here to help alleviate people suffering to some degree.
Right.
Do you feel like part of what you're doing is in mission with your faith?
I hope so. You know, I think that if we can help, if I can help people understand people better, maybe that has some kind of impact, right?
Yeah.
And so I think you can do that through journalism. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too. And I looked at your demographics. You have a great demographic breakdown on your website, which I think if people, you know, I'm not advertising for your website so much.
Well,
as
please
saying,
do.
Well, as so much as saying that if people are out there and they think they have people that would be interested, you know, like, oh, I'm trying to reach such and such people. Mm-hmm. You've got it all laid out.
Yeah.
For people to say, this is the people that I would reach. Absolutely. With these stories.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? We're really have the public radio audience. You know, most people have at least one college degree. They lean to the left. They don't belong to a church, but they really long for that, those conversations, those challenging conversations, and they want belonging.
Right. And I think that's where we kind of run into some of the problems right now, which I kind of want to dive into after the 20-minute hour a little bit more. But, you know, I think COVID did such a bang of siloing people into these communities. And I lost my ex-brother-in-law. He died from COVID because he was married to somebody and her religion basically said no vaccinations, you know, so he didn't get vaccinated. And all the conspiracy theory and stuff. And you kind of feel for people because they want to be a part of a community, or they want to. I've known guys who, you know, get married and the same situation, you know, and they were like fine to begin with, but now they are believing all the conspiracy theories. They've become very right wing. And you realize, well, this is the person that they married. Mm-hmm. And now they just want, they need to get along. And, you know, they want to get along with their in-laws. They want to get along with their mom, mother-in-law, and their father-in-law and all that. And I just think that that's got to be a tough one to overcome now as far as getting the word out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I think people are interested in, like, knowing that there's commonality. There's common ground that can be found, you know, no matter what the situation. Just got to look for it.
Yeah, you're right. And I think that's what I like about the going to these protests or talks. And I see that there's going to be one at WSU that you guys are sponsoring. And I'll mention that when we do that at the 20 minutes after the hour business. But I think that it's easy to forget that we all want community. And some of us, and some people are a little more intentional about it, you know. And so anyway, well, I'm going to jam on with the 20 minute after the hour stuff, because I've got like 3 pages of questions here.
Love it.
All right, folks, stay tuned. I'm going to play a little music while I load up my computer. And we will be right back.
Robert Sevilla for a Creative Mindset, Thursdays at 4. In that hour, I'll be talking to locals that have the creative mindset. Tune in to find out more about creative minds around you.
I'll polish the leaves, make them green again, shake out the trees, chase in again, spring cleaning.
Springtime is here, and with it comes spring cleaning. But how can you benefit yourself and the community? By donating your car, boat, or truck. We will tow the vehicle and give you a tax receipt for your donation. Call toll-free now to 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227. Start your spring off clean.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for April 20th through the 23rd. Monday, Jay and his piano at Zola, Choir Boy at the Big Dipper, and the Mac Movement open mic with Jada, Nathan Chartre, and others at the Red Room. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, the Rogan Tinsley Jazz Trio at 1919 Wine Cellar, open mic with Nate Dunnigan at the Parlor, Jameson Sampson, and the All-Star Jam with Jerry and Mars at Zola, and Cultist at the Big Dipper. Wednesday, Rachel Broadhead at Tay-Tay's Cafe, the Dirty Champions and Aki Fumikado at Zola, the Tamarack Ridge Trio at Iron Horse in the Valley, open mic with Derek Hart at the Checkerboard, and the Downtown Get Down Jam at the Red Room. Thursday, Ron Green at the Steam Plant, the Johnson Brothers Blues Jam at Chan's Red Dragon, open mic with Derek Hart at the Alibi, Francis Brown at Zola, Sucks at the Chameleon, Teenage Bottle Rocket at the Big Dipper, and Pentagram and Dusted Angel at the District. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com.
Out and About receives support from Eastern Washington University, the region's...
Okay, that we are back, and sorry about that last message, got kind of knocked out there. You are listening to Out and About. I'm your host, Maeve. I'm talking to Tracy Simmons from Spokane Faves, also from Washington State University, also a columnist from the Spokesman Review. Now, I'm going to go ahead, Tracy, if you're okay with this, I'm going to just kind of talk about stuff that's going on really quickly this week as far as protests. Mm-hmm. All right, so, and the best thing you can do, if you hear something on this, you go, oh, that interests me, is to go to www.saveusa.me. And that has all, that is like a clearinghouse of all the stuff going on in Spokane. And it has links, too. So, because I'm not going to spell out all the links on this for you. Of course, Mondays, we always have Mikey Mondays. That was yesterday, 3 to 4 p.m. at Division and Ruby. The V, the medium in front of Wendy's, and that, of course, is to get the message to our Congressman Michael Baumgartner. Wednesdays, Get the Ice Out Wednesdays, April 22nd. That's tomorrow, I believe. And that's 1 to 3 p.m., corner of Washington and Cataldo at the ICE downtown field office. And happy Earth Day. Thank you, Department of Ecology. Wednesday, April 22nd. That's at 3:30 p.m., the Department of Ecology building is at 4601 North Monroe Street. This will be hosted by the mysterious group called the East Side Gladiators. Earth's Greatest Enemy, showing in honor of Earth Day. That's Wednesday, April 22nd at 5:30 p.m., 8:30 p.m. at the Garland Theater. And if you go to the, again, if you go to the website, saveusa.me, there's links there to get tickets. The Spokane Visibility Brigade, you've seen them over the overpasses of I-90, and they meet Thursday, 4:30 to 5:30, and they'll be doing that again this week. That is April 23rd. Also April 23rd at WSU, sponsored by Spokane Faves, noon to 1 p.m., it's War in Iran, What's Next for the Middle East, Lawrence Pintak, I believe is the name, yeah. Correct? And that's 316 Bryan Hall, WSU campus in Pullman. For those of you who are down in Pullman, that's something you could take part in. Hands Off Our Healthcare Phone Bank into California. And that's going to be April 23rd as well, 4 p.m. or 5:30 p.m. Again, go to the website to check out the link for that. There will be a third Legislative District Community Town Hall with Marcus Ruccelli, Natasha Hill, and Tim Ormsby Thursday, April 23rd, Spokane Community College. And that is in the Lair from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Thursday's busy day. Freedom Friday, we deserve a living wage. There's a workers' rights pro-union rally Friday, April 24th. 4:30 p.m. at North Hamilton and East Trent Avenue, again, hosted by those East Side Gladiators. Pajel's Nonviolent Direct Action, Saturday, April 25th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Go on the website, find out more about that. Say It Saturday, End the War on Iran Now. That will be at B.A. Clark Park. For those of you who enjoyed going to the No Kings protests as much as I do, you can get a little shot of that every Saturday. Let's say it's Saturday. There's going to be a CBP visibility action car procession and sidewalk rally on Sunday from noon to 2 in front of the Custom and Border Patrol office at Highway 2 in Nevada. And there will be signs provided for your cars at the Hawthorne Safeway parking lot. Or you can make your own signs. And of course, you know, the one thing I'm kind of interested in finding out more about, this nationwide general strike, which will be May 1st. And again, go on the website to check that out. And also, I kind of have been, you know, talking to you a little bit about Nick the Beat's little book of poetry, Beatitude, where Nick has kind of rewritten the book of Jesus's Beatitudes into a poem called Beatitude. That is a zine that's $3. You can go to my website, mavegriffith.com, scroll all the way down to the Nick the Beat project, and all that money that gets raised, all the dozens of dollars that will get raised from that will go to help support the Pride Parade and Festival this year. So anything you can do to help that out would be, well, helpful. And I'm back. Tracy, thanks for your patience during that kind of dry part of talking.
No, it's good info there.
Yeah, it is good info.
I didn't know about that sign. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, it's going to be cool, I think. I want to kind of circle back a little bit to talk about your, I don't want to sound like, about your childhood. No, I want to talk about, you know, it would be easy, really, really easy just to reject religion outright, not be interested in all it, and just go, I have such a bad taste in my mouth right now. I don't want to do anything with it. Was that something that you dealt with for a while and then you kind of got back into it? How is it, you know, I don't think PTSD would probably be the right word, but do you ever kind of go, because you deal with all sorts of different folks on the Faves website. It's not just like you're dealing with, you know, progressive churches on there.
No, and we're actually trying really hard to get more evangelical churches involved with what we're doing. And it's always a challenge. But, you know, for me, I've been in a lot of counseling. That has definitely helped. But I also think the work that I do as a religion reporter is therapeutic, you know, because it helps me just by meeting new people and seeing how kind they are and, you know, how inviting they are, that helps me. But I know a lot of people who, you know, had that religious trauma of some kind from their childhood and just were angry. And I never was angry about that. You know, I was just always searching for something else and something better, you know? So, you know, for example, I was taught that, you know, by going into like a mosque or a Hindu temple, I was exposing myself to demons, right? Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so that just made me want to go into them and meet the people, you know, and then, then come out and be like, look, I'm fine, you know, and I have a great story.
I like met a great magic people. Trick.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. You know, it's funny because, you know, that kind of thing, I always think about people just sort of being locked into, you know, if you're in this fundamentalist mindset, I would say people are locked into that forever, but that's not true. When I was working for the fire department, I was at a station that was very, evangelical, I guess you'd say. And, you know, and they would give me a hard time about being Catholic, you know, and I'd say, well, we just believe what the Bible says. And I'd say, well, you know, I think the Bible is one of the best books the Catholic Church has ever put together. And then just, you know, watch them spin on that, you know, just have fun at their expense, I guess. But one guy came up to me and said, you know, Muslims worship the moon. And I'm like, I can't use strong language on the radio, but I basically used some strong language and said, where would you have heard that? Well, my pastor told me that. I go, well, you should get a new church because that is absolutely wrong. They're a monotheistic religion, just like Christianity and Judaism. And that worshiping the moon, maybe because they have the set of the, you know, the red crescent instead of the red cross. Maybe that's it, you know, where they came up with this lunatic idea.
Yeah.
And this guy, eventually he retired from the fire department. And I kind of lost contact with him for about 5 years. And now he is back, and he is one of the most thoughtful, most open-minded, has completely rejected what he was taught in these churches and realized that they really kind of abused him and told him lies.
Mm-hmm.
And so people do, it's worth saying these things.
Yeah. It had an impact, sounds like. You know, maybe he was like, yes, maybe I will go to a different church or find a different pastor.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
And I think that, you know, I think that came from loss of community on his part, you know, of people. And I would watch him on Facebook, and when he first started doing these things, and they would just, of course, you know, he still had the same friends at the time, and they just went crazy and piled on him and said, you're going to hell, and we're praying for you and all this stuff. But he was steadfast and very loving. I mean, when I came out, he was really one of the most loving people about it, you know? And, yeah, and I think that's, and you're a queer person too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that that's, you know, when I came out, a lot of people at work at the fire department said, well, I feel comfortable. I can come out now. And you feel like when you tell the truth, when you show people that you can tell the truth and survive telling the truth as a queer person, I think it kind of extends to other people to say, I can tell the truth about myself too, no matter what that truth is.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have that kind of experience in your coming out at all? Like people?
Kind of, but it took me a long time. I would say, you know, I was out kind of like quietly. Mm-hmm. I came out when I was in my early 20s living in Texas. And so as a religion reporter, kind of fresh out of college, I was more closeted, you know, publicly. So I think my mindset used to be that journalists needed to be kind of mysterious and nobody can know what we believed or anything about our personal lives. I don't practice that or think that anymore at all. And since I've been more open, and the spokesman column helped me do that, I've had students email me and they say, you know, you've been a great example and I've decided to come out to my parents. And so I love that I can be kind of a model to, at least to students, if anything, you know, but I think also hopefully to more conservative clergy who see that maybe they don't agree with my lifestyle, but I can still do good journalism, right? And that, so I think, I hope that's what's happening too.
Yeah. And that lifestyle thing always kind of cracks me up. Because I mean, I know you're married, you have a son, and you know, my lifestyle is I go run and I garden and I paint and I write. You know, that's my lifestyle.
Right.
It's a pretty boring lifestyle, you know, occasionally going on a backpacking trip. But, you know, that's always been a difficult one for me. Like, I'm not really that different from you about things. And yeah, that would be really great if a pastor could see that and say, well, you know, Jesus said the truth will set you free. And so why wouldn't we want people to tell the truth about themselves?
Love that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I feel like people can have beliefs that, I mean, and I guess back up a little bit, that to me, it feels like the blessing of this time, and I'm going to say blessing,
okay,
is that there's a real clarity right now that maybe we didn't have before, and a real contrast in that in the past, there were really a lot of gray areas about things, you know, like you would say, well, you know, this person says that, but then this, and, you know, I have to weigh this out. There doesn't seem to be, you don't have to, it's a little bit easier now because the lines are so clearly drawn. I mean, when you're a pastor and you preach the Sermon on the Mount and you have congregation members come up to you afterwards and say, what are you talking about all this woke stuff?
Yeah.
And they say, well, that was just what Jesus said, you know? and then then your congregant says, well, that doesn't work anymore, you know? And it's like, well, that's, in a way, that's a gift. Mm-hmm. That's a real gift that people tell you who they are and what they believe. And there's no, like, there's almost a, like a campaign of like, I'm going to tell you the truth about myself, even when it is really I'm proud of being an unvirtuous person. I'm proud of being a dishonorable person.
A human.
Yeah, I'm a person that just gets results.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm about, you know. And you think, well, thank you. Thank you for telling me. You know, I'm glad that I get the warning flags. And I also think that around issues, it's really become a lot easier. Like, you know, on the Iran war. I mean, like, why would anybody deal with somebody who doesn't ever tell the truth? How would you enter into a deal with that? So for for Iran, it's like for them, well, it's easy for them because they know that people aren't just talking platitudes.
Yeah,
you know. So
it's our top column on the site today is about lying. Actually,
I saw that. Yeah, I didn't read it, but I saw
it's
the
pretty
headline.
Good. Yeah,
yeah, because it is harder. And the flip side of that, I think, is that people. You know, they say things online and that doesn't ever go away.
Right.
So you can say horrible things and then, you know, not to defend Tucker Carlson by any means, but I mean, now he's very apologetic about what he said. I mean, he's still contemptible on a lot of things, but, you know, he's saying that and it's like, but you've said all this stuff and people can look back at it. And unless you're a person like, that really cozies up to power, like J.D. Vance calling Trump Hitler, and then he's the best thing ever now. You know, I mean, I think there are people in power that can look beyond that, but most of us go, well, I don't know what to really think about you at this point. You
getting
know?
Conflicting messages.
Yeah, that people don't tell the truth. So, so that sounds like a great article. I should have probably read that before I interviewed you.
Hey, it'll be there. It's on the internet.
It'll be there. Yes, it will be. That's a beautiful thing. Is there, you do have a good archive of articles there too. And you know, one of my things too, I think about like movies. Do you like movies?
I do. I have a 4-month old, so we don't watch a lot of movies these days. But.
I suppose 4 months is pretty good though, because you don't have to worry about
The
content too much.
But yeah.
But I mean, you know, good guys and bad guys in movies. It's like, how will that weather the storm? You know, how will a person who is portrayed in an honorable fashion now be like, well, that guy's woke. I mean, he's fighting for this stuff. How woke, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and I don't think that's a minority of people that would think that, but I just think it'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
Maybe someone will write about it. Maybe you want to write about it.
Oh, maybe. I'd have to have a time machine, though, because I don't know what's going to happen. I really am excited. I am pretty excited. I'm kind of a weirdo, I guess, because I find this an exciting time. It's a dangerous time.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you coping with everything?
No, I agree. There's a lot of really overwhelming negative news, right?
Yeah.
Negative headlines. But as a journalist, I think it's also exciting because I see more people, at least in my circles, looking at the news. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to know what's happening. They're engaging in dialogue about these difficult things. And I think, obviously, there's a lot of toxic conversations, especially on social media.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing a lot of like really fruitful, thoughtful conversations as well. And I think that's really good. I also think there's an opportunity to try to find positive stories to put in people's news feeds because I think they need that. You know, my students at WSU, they want to be journalists, but they're not reading or watching the news because it's too depressing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but like you have to, like you have to pay attention to it, reflect on it, and then figure out what to do with it. That's, you know, that's just part of the process now.
I think, you know, putting on your journalist hat right now, it has to be like a really hard time that you think about, you know, if you say something critical, you know, as a journalist, you could be, you know, at the end of a multi-billion dollar suit. So they just acquiesce to power. And you know, I think it was a Wall Street Journal reporter or editor had mentioned something about like, this is the first time in history probably where you would have to believe the reports coming from the country that you're fighting as opposed to your own administration.
Well, J.D. Vance just called, or no, I'm sorry, Pete Hegseth just called journalists the Pharisees. I don't know if you saw that. The Pentagon,
that.
It's like, yeah. But for me, it motivates me, right? I'm like, we're just going to work even harder.
Yeah, but it was in the book of Pulp Fiction that they were called
Pharisees. 2 Corinthians. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I remember that speech from Pulp Fiction. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's not in the Bible. Why don't they just use what's... There's enough bad stuff you could find in there. Why don't they just do a little work instead of make stuff up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. Have you noticed that this... conversation of faith has evolved over the years, what people have felt comfortable talking about?
I think so. You know, I have a sweatshirt that says religion is always in the room, and I think it's just so true, you know?
Yeah.
I think that people are willing to talk about it more maybe than they used to in safe places, you know, like maybe not at the Thanksgiving table if that's going to, you know, be a problem, but they're finding communities where they can have those discussions. I think faves is one of those. Also the religion beat, you know, remember I said in 2009, you know, all these newspapers were laying off religion reporters and not covering religion anymore. We're seeing that change. So like the Associated Press is growing their religion reporting team. NPR has a religion, national religion desk team of reporters. So I think that publishers are realizing that, hey, the community, like readers want to know about religion, and that's an important thing to cover. And it's not what you might think it is, right? We're not just going to write about the Christmas pageant. We're actually like doing deep journalism. So I think that's a really positive thing we're seeing. Yeah. Although I do agree that it's probably the reason maybe that's happening is a little scary, right? It's because of what's happening politically, and it's because of, you know, the divisions that we're seeing. But if we can get people to read those articles, I think it can make a big difference.
Right. You know, and I think, you know, again, it's that kind of that flip side curse blessing thing with Christian nationalism, which, of course, you know, Project 2025 and all the destruction that it's done to America, that it has a name for. I don't like the name. I'd rather say, you know, Antichrist, you know, fascism. But, you know, the mainstream media seems to, you know, they want to call that Christianity in the United States, which, you know, I don't think that would stand up too much. I mean, with any kind of observation on it, but at least people are learning about it, you know. And I think, you know, there's that church that just opened up in Brown's Addition.
Yeah, we have a story coming out with Range on Thursday.
Good. Oh, yeah. My buddies from Range, they have a show here too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And, Aaron is a good friend. In fact, she'll be on next week talking about burlesque stuff.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But, we've been in plays together. But that church, there was an article in the Spokesman Review, and I kind of went in. And, you know, of course, I kind of take a step back looking at that stuff. And I just think, you know, these things usually run their course. You know, they're going to, the people that are really loud about it and maybe violent about it, they go on to the next thing. You know, maybe they'll do some damage. But, you know, that church, there's a really good chance it won't even be there next month. You know, I mean, that can happen, especially when you've got pastors who are in it, or say I'm in it for the money, basically. Yeah. That's what they're doing.
And in a town like Spokane will stand up, you know, and push back on that.
They will. They will push back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny. I take a Tai Chi class and I park right across the street from that church for this Tai Chi class. Yeah. It's pretty wild, but it's like, I look at it and I go, man, you know, it's freedom of speech. They should be able to, you know, as long as they're not hurting anybody, I guess they should be able to say whatever they want. And then also the flip side of that is when people are angry or scared or hurt, they have to know that they feed on that. Mm-hmm. That is what they feed on. It's a dark force.
Absolutely.
That they get off on that kind of thing. So don't give it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I cover Christian nationalism a lot. I live in Pullman, so I live 8 miles from Doug Wilson, you know, with Christ Church. And I write about him nationally a lot because, like you said, the media is kind of obsessed. Like,
He's Pete Hagseth's pastor.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, kind of. Yeah. But they whenever, you know, Doug Wilson sneezes, I get a call from the Religion News Service wanting a story, you know, and I wrestle with that because how much attention should I give?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I really try to include voices from the town of Moscow who are saying like, hey, this isn't his town, this is our town, you know? Yeah. So hopefully the focus isn't just on him, but also the response and how the community is kind of coming together.
Yeah. And you know, there's other guys like Matt Shea and all these other outliers that there's always going to be these folks out there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I think right now that I think so many like the mainstream religions have taken such a hit as far as the numbers that maybe their voices have just gotten louder in comparison. Yeah. But so how do you weigh that out? Like, oh, you know, Matt Shea wants to, which he doesn't give interviews, but if you wanted to give an interview, would you take it? I mean, what do you do?
I mean, it depends on what we're going to be talking about, you know, but I think it's important. I think Christian nationalism is obviously very dangerous, right? And so I do think it's important to let people know this is happening in the community, you know?
Yeah.
So I do report on it, but I don't report on every little thing.
Yeah.
You know, I try to kind of pick and choose.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
I try to include those voices from the...
Yeah, that's smart, I think, because, you know, you don't want it to get just labeled as like a propaganda website or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Although, you know, you talked a little bit about being a reporter and, you know, how you wanted to kind of shield, you know, your persona from, you know, from doing your work. And I think, is that still kind of something that's in journalism that people want to do? Because I just feel like even if I wanted to write something so vanilla-ish, my belief system would come through on that.
Yeah. It's funny. I would say I have friends who have been doing journalism, you know, a lot longer than I have, and they're pretty committed to the idea that you do not insert your opinion, you don't write, you know, commentary, you don't put yard signs up, and you know, things like that. I'm advocating that we go ahead and write opinion columns sometimes, and go ahead and be a little more transparent, because people are going to make assumptions about you anyway. So might as well just tell them what they are. Now, that said, I don't put yard signs up and I don't put like political bumper stickers on my car.
Right.
But when it comes to my personal life and, you know, I think also I have a friend who's a really good journalist, and she said, there's nothing wrong with advocating for kindness. Right. And so when we have a political leader who's unkind, we can say that, I think. But
yeah. And yeah, I think that's true. And I also think that one of the reasons why news outlets like Fox or even the president himself saying things that are tainted by their personality and their ideology, and to some people that looks like honesty, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, well, you've just let me know, you know, that, you know, who you really are, and so I can trust you. I can trust you to tell me lies, you know? And so I think that sometimes when people don't, you know, don't say, when they say, you know, he stretched the truth instead of saying the president lied, you know, which they're starting to do finally, but it's taken, you know, what, 10 years to do,
right?
You know? And it's, I think that people would have respected them and listened to them more if they had just said lie in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I don't know. As a queer person of faith, because Buddhism is a faith, right?
Yeah, I mean, totally.
So do you feel like it informs your faith, or how is there like an interplay between your faith and your sexuality?
Good question. You know, kind of goes back to what we talked about before with like that religious trauma. So in my household, my family is very like homophobic, right? And so I obviously that's not a community for me.
Yeah.
But I think with Buddhism, it really is like a very individual faith. Like I don't belong to a sangha, partly because I live in Pullman, but also just like the teachings don't talk about, you know, don't talk about that. They don't talk about, you know, that you shouldn't be in a sexual relationship with someone of the same sex. Like, you know, there's no point to it. It doesn't go there.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a place where I feel comfortable and safe, and I feel supportive. I have a pretty good relationship with the nuns over and the monastics over at Sarvasti Abbey.
Oh, yeah.
So I watch all of their videos and read all of their books, and that's been helpful for me. But I should say that now that we have a kid, my wife and I have been church shopping, I think we're going to go to an ELCA Lutheran church.
Okay.
Over in Moscow, Idaho, because we do want our son to kind of have that community and to learn about religion from a progressive lens.
Yeah, I was the same way with our kids too.
Okay, yeah.
It was just that, you know, I think it's good that they have that language, right? Mm-hmm. That they can express themselves that way or know what people are talking about.
And to know that there's a church they can go to with two moms and nobody's going to blink an eye.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I got all my surgeries were in Moscow, Idaho.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Which is...
A grit memory.
Which is crazy. I don't know. I don't think that'd be the case anymore.
Yeah, I think they've changed.
Yeah, they've changed a lot since then. But yeah, I think that, you know, as far as faith for me is that, you know, and going back, you know, people want to talk, Christian family values. It's like, well, you know, really, what Jesus had to say about families wasn't really what you'd want. I mean, as far as like the American family, I mean, like turn your back on your family and, you know, these are truly my brothers and sisters here and all that stuff. And I think as queer people, I think sometimes we find ourselves in these intentional communities of people that, you know, we don't believe all monotheistically about things, but we also feel comfortable with each other.
Right.
And we know that there's not going to be a judgment about who we are.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe a good through line to that.
Absolutely.
Okay. How do you see this will be my last question.
Okay.
How do you see faves evolving? What do you think, looking at how you started, mm-hmm. and the trajectory it's on.
It's such an exciting time for us. We started just covering Spokane. That was the goal. And then I took a job at WSU. And so naturally, we kind of started covering more of the Palouse. We bleed into Idaho already. I hired a reporter, a freelancer a couple months ago to cover Boise. And now our goal in 26 is to cover the entire state of Washington. So I have... obviously a group of reporters here. I have 22 reporters, 23
wow.
as of yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
They're all freelancers, but some of these folks have written for us for 14 years,
wow.
you know, so they're pretty committed to the work that we're doing. But we have someone now in Seattle, Vancouver, Orcas Island as of yesterday. And then also, like a Seattle suburb. We also have someone over in Oregon. So, my dream, if I had like all the money in the world, would it be to cover like the greater Northwest, Montana, Alaska, Oregon, you know, as well as Washington and Idaho. Because I think those those get missed a lot in the mass media, especially when it comes to religion.
Yeah.
But for now, we're going to do one state at a time. And I think we're well on the way to covering the state of Washington. We also have more than 15 media partners, so we kind of become a wire service, and so our content is getting obviously picked up in the Spokesman. NWPB is covering our stuff. We have the beginning relationship with KUOW, the Wenatchee World, and then some national partners too, like Sojourners Magazine, Christian Century,
magazine. Yeah.
Yeah, Religion News Service. So it's really cool to see how we're growing. Yeah, I might have to hire more editors soon.
As a person of faith and also as a journalist, it has to make you happy to see life news is dead. You know, it's all going to be social media and all that.
Yeah.
That must make you really happy.
Yeah, I love that people are interested in our stories.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure you're really familiar with the Fig Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mary Stamp, who's just been putting out that newspaper for, I don't know, 50 years now or something. Just like, it's incredible, you know, it's still a great paper too. So, and if people want to check out the website?
Faves.news, FAVS.news.
Okay. And thank you so much for being here, Tracy.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this conversation. And I have a lot of other questions And maybe once this AI thing kicks in, I want to talk to you a lot about AI stuff.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
thanks for having me.
Oh, it was a pleasure, and thanks for being here. And thanks, everybody, for listening to Out and About. Today, you are listening to KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And we will join our feed right now.
Exotic conduct. So their names may be indelibly placed on that border wall and remembered forever in infamy. This is Jim Hightower saying, Trump is expected to push ahead, but the feisty grassroots champions are not intimidated. We will be civil, says one leader, but we don't have to be polite. Stay connected to them at nobigbenwall.org. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Hi, this is Lori. You're listening to KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane, on the dial at 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
Francisco, this is Democracy Now!
Deaths in ICE custody continue to skyrocket past previous records as the agency has been massively expanding the immigration detention system. A total of 48 people have died in ICE custody so far during the current Trump administration.
As ICE rapidly expands its immigration jail system, deaths in ICE custody are surging. At least 17 people have died this year, on average a person every week. 48 have died since President Trump returned to office. We'll talk to Detention Watch Network, then caught in the crackdown. As arrests at anti-ICE protests piled up, prosecutions crumbled. A ProPublica frontline investigation.
An investigation into the Trump administration's months-long crackdown.
Are you encountering a lot of resistance?
Most I've ever seen.
The pushback.
They are creating the emergency and the crisis that we then need to deal with.
I'm asking, who's detaining me?
And the fallout.
President Trump and I, along with others in the administration, have recognized that certain improvements could and should be made.
We'll speak to investigative reporter A.C. Thompson, and finally to the front lines of the animal rights movement. On Saturday, hundreds of activists attempted to rescue 2,000 beagles from Ridgeland Farms, a breeding facility in Wisconsin accused of animal cruelty.
The violence that we experienced today was off the charts. And yet, it does not compare to what the dogs go through.
Dozens of people were arrested. We'll go to Madison, Wisconsin. People were arrested. We'll go to Madison, Wisconsin to speak with one of the organizers. All that.